welcome to today's episode of Third and Forever. It is our Super Bowl recap and really our full season recap. It's the last episode of the year. Makes me sad. NFL season is officially over. But before we get to that, Kevin, how are you doing, buddy?
I have mixed emotions. On one hand, the season is over, but next season just started.
That is damn true right there.
Hopefully this one won't be such a colossal clusterfuck for at least one of our teams.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it was a very disappointing season. A lot of hopes riding into it, but it saved me any heartbreak. I definitely feel a lot better this year, today than I did a year ago today. So that's nice.
I mean, that's kind of the it's better to have loved and lost kind of thing. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, you don't want to be the Browns, but you don't want to be the Bengals either. You're like, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, so we're recording this on, it is Wednesday, February 6th. You're probably listening to this on Friday, February 8th, if my days are correct.
Let's not get carried away here with predictions of when this is going. I have like 6 months to get this one up. I mean, nothing's happening.
We had to wait a little bit. I was traveling a little while. Just got in last night. Back to the Big Apple, but
it, I also got home from work last night.
School's definitely not left my memory. It is still ingrained in my brain.
I'm glad that one of us remembers it, because honestly, gun to my head, I think I can pull three plays out of my memory, and the rest of it is just like general boredom.
Well, that's good that I'll just be talking to myself.
I'll just kind of agree with you every once in a while and pretend like I wasn't, you know, drinking and eating food and not really paying attention to anything that was happening.
Yeah, this is a weird viewing party for me. I was, my actual job, my company put on this annual event down in Palm Beach, Florida, that we do with this family, and they invite all their friends and family and whatnot down to their Palm Beach house, and they're originally from Boston, so the crowd was majority, I'd probably say about 80% or so, I could see rooting for the Patriots. It's tough because there wasn't a lot of big plays that they're rooting for. The crowd definitely didn't seem super enthused. There was definitely some other people that were more into the game than others, but a lot of them, it was still a good event. It was, I guess, better to be at this year's than last year's, because they have this every year, and last year didn't go so great. But
are you trying to tell me that you were in a location that had a higher density of Patriots fans than Rams fans?
Yes, I was.
So you were anywhere in America, is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
You were even the city of LA. I mean, that doesn't narrow it down at all.
Not a football town. They're not a pro football town.
No, I mean this was a home Super Bowl for the Patriots.
In Atlanta, yes.
Yeah. Granted, maybe New England is slightly closer to Atlanta than LA, but still, it was hugely disproportionate and very obvious.
With the exception of how close it was last year, I mean, Super Bowls are always just going to be – the crowds there are going to be a mixed bag. I mean, it's just – you're not going to have
– But this was decidedly less mixed, I feel like. This was
– Well, yeah.
Pretty consistently pro-Patriots.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, so you – a lot of people, and I'm sure because you mentioned that you don't remember much of this game, you probably did not enjoy the game too much.
Well, no, because I was really excited going in. I had gotten over the controversy of the prior week, and I was ready to see some good football. I predicted the Patriots would win, so I was kind of hedging the bets on my own, well-being there. But nothing happened. It was a punt-a-palooza. I mean, we had one total touchdown in the third or fourth quarter. I don't even remember which quarter it was in. A handful of field goals, a couple missed field goals. It was so boring. There were two picks that, Goff's was kind of interesting because it was late, but Brady's happened early, and then nothing happened off of it.
Game.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just that was a little flicker of hope, and then it was just punt, 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 punt. It was so boring.
Yeah, I mean, see, I can see that sentiment. I think also just from the year we had, I mean, it was the most touchdowns scored.
Yeah, we had the most points in the league, and then we had the lowest scoring Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls.
Yep, and but if anything, I think that's as how backwards or how the NFL doesn't make any sense and it's so hard to predict. I think I think that's the most fitting way for this season to end. I mean, it's just like, you know, and as a guy, you know, as someone that played defense when I did play the sport my younger years, I appreciated the defensive effort of the game. And I also think, you know, we saw both sides of it. We saw, you know, the biggest thing going into this game, the storyline was, you know, young versus old, you know, end of the dynasty versus possible start of a new one. And it was like supposed to be like the passing of the guard if the Rams won. And what we saw today was the old veterans or the old folk kicking the crap out of the young guys. I mean, you see. Well,
and what we saw was Belichick and McVay. It was a very interesting dynamic that was set up where McVay is the offensive guru. Belichick is more of the defensive guy.
Yep.
And I mean, you can't even – no one's making the argument that McVay came out on top of that. I think that he got into his own head. I think that he outcoached himself a little bit. Yep. And he just looked confused and paralyzed in the big moment, which was shocking to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, they you know, credit to the Patriots for running this – running man defense like all year, and Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator, who's now – moving on to become the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Deservingly.
Yeah. I mean, this was his masterpiece, and Belichick's too. And it's just, they all year long, they were running zone defense.
They were running man defense all year.
And that's what they had the tapes on. And then in the Super Bowl, every single, like majority of the plays, they're in zone except for Gilmore, who I'm pretty sure just followed Cooks all game long. And
yeah,
I mean, it was like McVay was in a pretzel. But I was so disappointed in, like, he just, I don't know. I think this is going to be the biggest, you know, learning moment for him, obviously, of so far, especially of his young career, is how much he can learn from this. Is it's like he kind of shriveled up a little bit, it seemed like.
He shriveled up. He looked confused. And that's especially big where you're, you know, when he's the offensive mind and you have this young, largely untested quarterback, and Goff did the exact same thing. They both just kind of went into, you know, a fetal position more or less and, you know, scored 3 fucking points all game.
Yeah. And I think that's also, you look at Goff's age and, you know, him only being a third year guy now, or not, like, now 3 full years in the league, really like 2.5 being as the full time starter. He didn't have, not necessarily, I don't want to say confidence, but he didn't have the experience to dictate or see how the game's going and change it on his own. You know, I know that's a hard thing to do when you have a guy like McVay and they're so, you know, he's had so much success under McVay compared to what he had with Jeff Fisher, so he's trusting that. He's trusting that McVay will call the right plays and they'll work. They're going to work as they should. But the problem is the Patriots are doing the same thing all game long. I mean, coverage-wise, they're changing it up, but they blitzed a ton. Hightower and Van Noy were coming up the middle, coming off the edge. Their whole game plan was not letting Goff step up in the pocket, make him really uncomfortable the entire game. And that's where you're like, throw a damn screen. You have one of the best receiving backs in the league. He got targeted twice.
And that's something else that, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Todd Gurley. They keep insisting. I watch McVay's press conference after the game again, and he keeps saying that, you know, Gurley, no, he's not hurt. He's not hurt. We just wanted to switch it up or whatever the fuck that excuse is. That's it. Either that's not true and he's lying and Gurley is hurt and they're not telling us for some reason, which I can't even think of what that would be, because it doesn't matter at this point. Yeah. Or Gurley is having some sort of mental breakdown, or McVay is having some sort of mental breakdown. Like, it's such a no-brainer decision to get this guy involved. He's a physical freak. He's been dominant throughout the whole season.
I think it's more, it's got to be more Gurley's side, just because, you know, if it's a McVay thing, you'd think that he would be visibly upset.
Yeah.
He'd be annoyed and looking pissed off on the sideline, like, why am I not in the game? He'd have his helmet on, waiting to go in, staying right by McVay, but he's not. He has his helmet off. He's just standing there looking like he's just on autopilot. And that's why I'm thinking it's got to be something in, like, you know, like, mentally.
Like,
because
when
he's running, he doesn't look like he has any ailments. He doesn't look slower. He doesn't look like he can't make
I think, what did he have, like 10 for 35 this game? Like, it's not terrible. You just got to feed him some more against, a good defense.
Yeah. And he, you know, he did have – it was, I believe, in the – I don't know when it was in the game, but it was a drive killer where Gurley on first down broke off like a 15 or 20. It was like a 21-yard run or something like that, or something where he broke it off and it got called back because of a holding penalty, which was very ticky-tacky. I mean, he was not even really even involved in the play.
I remember
but
that
it,
one.
It put them first and 10, or for, instead of first and 10, in, you know, plus 20 yards or 15 yards, they're sitting at first and 20 back. And it's like, that kills your drive. And, you know, he had no momentum. And he's the type of back where you feed him enough, he's going to break one. He's going to start, you know, getting into a rhythm. But a big part of his game is being involved in the pass game. And they didn't throw one damn screen. Why?
No.
When they're blitzing five or they're rushing five or six at you, the running backs are going to be the first people to be open. Why are you not?
Because McVay got, deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
And he is, the whole engine behind that offense. I think that in a couple years' time, we're going to look at Jared Goff as a pretty good system quarterback. I don't think that I've seen anything truly special from him.
No.
And some of that stands out where, obviously fantasy success and, actual ability to play the game aren't necessarily directly related. But you look at Jared Goff's splits home and away, and he scores significantly more points on average at home because they don't have the crowd, they have more time, and McVay can go up and just tell him exactly what he's supposed to do, like word for word. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the controller, and McVay is playing Madden when they're at home because they can hear each other. And it's just, when McVay falls apart, Jared Goff is not the kind of guy who can go out there and do it. It's like the anti-McCarthy Rodgers, where it's like Rodgers is better when McCarthy shuts the fuck up and can't call a play. It's the exact flip of that.
Yeah, and and it's hard because I don't want to put, I don't want to have the jury out on Goff yet just because how young he is. And, he's now only had two seasons with McVay, and I think next year's going to be a huge indicator for him. But I'm having a tough time, I'm putting him kind of in the similar career path. It's starting to look like that he's going to just be another Matt Ryan. He's just going to be,
I don't even think he's as good as Matt Ryan, honestly.
Well, no, not necessarily at a personal level, what I'm saying, but more so at like a – just like not quite at like over the hump of being the elite quarterbacks in the league.
He's the top of the second tier.
Yeah, he could be a very serviceable quarterback. He'll have a season in there. Well, he could win an MVP if things break right and he gets in, the right type of a year, like that where you saw Matt Ryan. But then also, he'll have games, kind of just clunkers here and there. And I don't know.
And obviously he's still learning, and I don't want to just come out here and say he's never going to be good. But based off of these first three seasons, I mean, with the asterisks next to the first one because it was the Jeff Fisher season, but especially going off of this game and in the big moments like this, I mean, complete 180 between this game and the Rams-Chiefs game. And I know he's playing, different defenses entirely and different quality defense, but slinging it around and throwing it versus just standing back there looking scared.
Yeah, and I think also, the moment does get to players. I mean, it's just kind of how it goes, being in the Super Bowl that young against the Patriots.
And the Patriots are this well-oiled Super Bowl machine where they've all been there. They're not really that nervous, a lot of them, because they've done this multiple times. Even if they've lost, they've still been in this game versus the Rams that are kind of this free agency hodgepodge cobbled together stack of mercenaries more or less around that core crew, but none of the core crew or many of the free agent guys have really had any Super Bowl experience.
No.
And so when you look at it, it makes a certain amount of sense. I know a lot of people were trying to argue for the Rams beforehand, but it really isn't that surprising the way that things went down. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those things that the Patriots, this is probably Belichick's, of his six Super Bowl winning teams, this was probably his least talented of the bunch.
I think for sure, yeah.
And it's just that everyone just does their job. I mean, the play that Jason McCourty made on breaking up the touchdown pass to Cooks in the end zone in the first half, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that thing was insane. I mean, they were in just a simple cover three, at least it appeared that way with the two corners and the safety. And, you know, McVay had a great play call. He had Cooks on the left side of the field, slowly worked that seam to get to that goalpost. And both the safeties collapsed on the crossing route. I think it might have been by Reynolds or Woods, one of them. And Jason McCourty comes from the opposite. He's the other corner on the far side, comes breaking out of nowhere to break up that pass. I mean, sure, Goff was late on seeing that, but still, I mean, the guy was just wide open in the end zone. He came out of nowhere, and it's just players like that just stepping up and making big plays in games, and even if they're thankless jobs like Hightower or Kyle Van Noy, they didn't have phenomenal stat games, but they were all over the field. I mean, they were disrupting everything Goff was trying to do or the Rams were trying to do. They're in the back all the time.
And it's like this intangible sort of mentality that just follows that team around that I think starts with the coach, where you don't really have anything else like that in, you know, you have players maybe on certain teams, individual players with this really, you know, no shit mentality, but it's so rare to just have this entire organization that functions that way.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, the most insane thing I saw, you know, I remember last week when we were talking, you know, the biggest things coming down to this game, the biggest factor was going to be line play, or one of the biggest factors, with how the Patriots can handle Donald and Sue and Fowler and Ebukam. you feel free to throw in the soundbite of Jason Witten. We're trying to say that name there. And, you know, being like, if Donald can wreck the game or get in the backfield or just, you know, that's going to dictate how this game goes. And, I mean, the fact that Brady was – he didn't have a great – like a phenomenal game by any means stat-wise, but he had time to throw the ball at least. And they were able to get the running game going. And, I mean, that is all credit to the 70-year-old line coach, Dante – Scarnecchia for the Patriots, who is probably one of the best position coaches. I mean, he has that stability that they've had for this team, and he's such a strong confidant of Bill that it's just like, invest in the line, like have a great offensive line coach. Think good things typically happen. Like Mike Munchak, who was the Pittsburgh coach for so long, and they're like, finally he's getting recognition. When they see, like, oh, Le'Veon Bell's doing great, where'd he kind of come from? And then they're like, oh, all right, then he's gone. And then James Conner comes out of nowhere and is unbelievable. You're like, all right, maybe their offensive line coach knows what he's doing or how to run block.
Well, yeah.
Just having a guy that can, you know, tell a bunch of people, whether it being – you don't have to have five all pros to block, but you need to have some – you just need to have stability – in those positions, at least to some degree, but you really need the stability at the coaching position there. I mean, it's crucial. And he kicked the crap out of the Rams defensive line.
Yeah. I mean, like that was, I mean, we said it last week and I think that we were, you know, validated in that observation that the Patriots defensive line and the versus the Rams offensive line was the point where the entire game swings around. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even fucking close.
No.
I mean, holy crap. Like, I thought for sure that, you know, it was going to be more of a battle than it turned out to be. I can't recall almost a single time that I really saw a play where I thought that the Rams offensive line did a noteworthy job.
No, they got, and they are really, they're probably, like, individually talent-wise, I think they're much more talented than...
Yeah, they've had a hell of a season, too, as a unit.
They're unbelievable, and it's just, and it's not like, you look at defensive talent for the Patriots on that line is nowhere near what the Rams have, but it's just, they got out-coached, they knew how to scheme it, and that's what they were doing.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that I think that the Rams' defensive line also won that battle up front against the Patriots' offensive line, to a lesser extent, maybe, but very similar, which, I mean, if you're Aaron Donald, how fucking pissed are you right now?
Yeah.
That you held the Patriots to 13, you know, you did your job. I think he had at least one or two sacks, and, yep. I mean, your offense rolls out there with three.
Yeah, Wade Phillips. You can do. Wade Phillips did a phenomenal job, an unbelievable job keeping this offense in check, holding the Patriots to 13 points where, you know, 3 points through three quarters is in the Super Bowl is insane.
Wade Phillips is an excellent defensive coordinator.
Yes.
He's not a good head coach, but he is an excellent defensive coordinator.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you know, he showed out and he did his part. You know, you hold the Patriots to 13 points in the Super Bowl, you tell me that they're only going to score 13, I'm going to say they're going to lose, you know, 99 out of 100 times probably. I mean, like, that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
To win the Super Bowl with that, especially with the other team was the Rams. I'm like, no way the Rams don't get a touchdown. And it's
I love that stat at halftime where they said this is the second lowest halftime score in the history of the Super Bowl, and the lowest was like Giants Vikings, and it was 0-2.
Yeah.
The only score you could possibly have that's lower than 0-3.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know. I mean, it was one of those games where I respected the defensive efforts going at each other, but I will say, you know, the Patriots offense did enough. They at least moved the ball. They didn't have, even when they had a cost like a turnover, it didn't hurt them. Their defense kind of carried that way. But other than that first drive, they took care of the ball. They didn't give away the game, which they easily could have in that tight of a game. But the Rams did a great job on defense too. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away there. But Donald,
I think the difference between the Patriots defense and the Rams defense, the way that they performed, they both performed really well. The difference was that half the time the Rams got the ball, I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say their starting field position average was probably like the 15-yard line.
Yeah,
you know, like their punting and special teams is through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, they're the Patriots at least moved the field on all their, like, most of their position on their possessions to at least pin the Rams back. They just never gave them any breathing room, and so it feels like they're always playing out of their end zone or pretty close to it.
Which is part of the reason I say this game was so boring is because, I mean, Bill Belichick was doing that quintessential, like, Bill Belichick is the guy you hate to play in Madden. He never goes for it. He always punts. He runs the clock out at the end of the game. You know, it's all this stuff where it's like, he does all the smart, boring moves, and that was this game times 10. That was, you know, to infinity.
Yeah.
It worked, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't have done it. I'm just saying from a viewer's perspective, I mean, you always want them to go for it on fourth down. You always want them to do something crazy, and none of that happened in this game.
No. But yeah, just to rehash, I mean, we talked about how the Rams couldn't generate any, at least move the ball with their drives. Their first half were three plays, 2 yards, 51 seconds, punt. Five plays, 17 yards, 2 minutes, punt. Three plays, 3 yards, a minute, 14, punt. Five plays, 23 yards, 2.5 minutes, punt. Three plays, minus 6 yards, 2 minutes, 17 seconds, punt. And then the final drive of the half for them was three plays, 8 yards, 57 seconds, punt.
Well, and the time of possession at halftime was like 20-10. Patriots. Oh, yeah. Like, it was insane.
It was ridiculous. They didn't have a drive that went above 30 yards until they finally scored their field goal, which came in the third quarter. You know, it was a 10-play, 42-yard drive. And so it wasn't like they were moving at all that
far. No.
I mean, and of course, we can talk now about the Goff interception. And It's tough because on that play, on that drive, I believe that was the drive that he had, was that the one? Yeah, that he had Cooks on the play before.
Yep.
That he had him, like, Cooks is literally,
he missed.
He would have been in the end zone.
Yep.
And, you know, he was late on throwing that, but still, Cooks could have caught it. I mean, he kept it before the guys got to him or didn't secure it.
Yeah, it was over the shoulder, wasn't it? I want to say.
Yeah, it literally was going to be like you put your hands out, but you're keeping your elbows in. It was right there. I mean, it was a great ball. It was
a harder catch than it had to be if Goff wasn't late on the throw, but he still could have made the effort and gotten there.
Yeah, and then of course in the next play, Goff was picked off. It looked kind of a very similar looking play, but he
just didn't get enough on it because he was getting smacked in the middle of his throw.
Yeah, he couldn't step into it. He had a throw kind of off his back foot or his feet planted, and was just a duck. And Gilmore was looking at it, and Cooks wasn't. By the time he did, it was picked off. I mean, at the four, and once that happened, it's like the Patriots aren't giving this ball up. And
as soon as that happened, I just thought to myself, I'm like, this game's over. And you know, you always expect, I don't know, maybe if we were like spoiled, especially with those AFC Championship and NFC Championship games where, you know, oh, there's too much time left. There's too much time left, back and forth. And they got the ball and I was like, it's over. They're just going to run. And they did. Like, it's so boring.
Unbelievably boring. When they got the ball back, when the Patriots got the ball, it was 4 minutes, 17 seconds left in the game. And they just went 9 plays, 72 yards in 3 minutes, and kicked a field goal. I mean, with a minute left, nothing you can do.
Going back to the first half real quick, was I the only one that, like, I think the Patriots got the ball on the 2-yard line with like 30 seconds left, and the Rams had two or three timeouts, and Brady took a knee to send it to halftime, and I was going, call a timeout!
Because
when they call a timeout, you take another knee, you're on the 0-yard line, they can't take another knee, like, it's 3-0, if you get a safety, that's fucking huge.
Yeah, and they would get the ball.
Yeah, and I was like, you have timeouts that you just don't, like, why not? They're not going to score a 99-yard touchdown on you. If they do, then you deserve to lose, but...
I don't know, he kept his two timeouts that he could have...
I was just sitting there yelling at the TV, like an idiot, like, did you use your timeouts? And, like, everyone was like, why? I'm like, it matters.
And what's really confusing to me is on that last drive when it appeared that they, you know, they finally got the ball at pretty favorable position where they're at the 32. And of course, Goff gets sacked immediately. But then they picked up 14 yards. And I'm like, okay, they're moving. They're at the 40 and it's 3rd and 2. And there's like 30 seconds left. The clock's running. It's like, call a timeout. You have two of them. Call one. Great play up. He hurried up, and it was a crap decision.
You just see that times, you know, 100 throughout the course of this game where it just looked like McVay, like, smoked a bunch of weed in, like, the entire game. He was like, wait, what? Wait a minute. Like, he just couldn't quite get the handle on what was going on.
This kind of brings it back a little ways. I remember we talked about it. I don't remember what week it was or if it was in the playoffs. But, I think it was actually might have been the Chiefs and Rams game where we mentioned – where I brought the point being, like, you know, the fact that the Rams won, that's kind of eliminating any – you know, we could have had a discussion if they lost that McVay's maybe not that great at clock management. And where it's just like not giving, you know, he just doesn't, man, it just seems like something that he just doesn't have.
He gets so focused, I think, on the intricacies of what's going on in the field. Timeouts are almost like they're too large scale. They're too macroscopic for him to, like, you know, acknowledge. It's not like, you know, he's busy worrying about, like, what Jared Goff's eyebrows are doing. And he needs to call a fucking timeout. And he didn't have his holdback guy either, which, you know.
Yeah.
I think this all can be traced back to that.
Yeah. but, I mean, other than that, it's the Patriots or...
Yeah, the Patriots, good job. My God, you guys did it. It's fucking crazy.
And so...
multiple scores. I mean, I was right. I want the record to show.
Oh, right. You were not trying to reverse jinx it whatsoever.
No, that's stupid. Nope. Why would I do that? It doesn't make any sense. Dynasty is alive and well. They'll probably do it again next year.
Yeah.
Can we also just take a moment to put a middle finger up to Maroon 5 for fucking blue ballsing the shit out of the world with that SpongeBob song that they play? What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Like, it's even worse to just not playing it to, like, hey, look, it's SpongeBob. Nah, just kidding. It's sicko mode. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I was so excited. I've never gone from, like, so excited to so angry that quickly over something that, like, you know, over the halftime show.
Yeah, the halftime show was very underwhelming, very, like, meh, very, it was perfect for the Super Bowl, I guess. Yeah,
it was. It was boring as
same
shit.
Same thing with the commercials. Just
the Game of Thrones commercial.
Yeah, I like that one.
Was, like, the lone standout for me. I was like, oh!
The crowd I was in was definitely not Game of Thrones watchers, so they...
Like, oh my god, who's that?
And yeah, so, I mean, yeah, the commercials nothing really stood out to me that much. I don't know. It was kind of lackluster for that.
But. It seems that the commercials are, like, weirdly, like, trying too hard. It just doesn't feel like people wrote them. You know,
they're all trying to be super,
like meta and weird.
Yeah, exactly, and they're like, just
have a premise and roll with it. Like, why do you have to, like, talk about your commercial in your commercial?
Yeah.
Like, that weird, like, that robot baby, TurboTax. What the fuck? Like, that doesn't even... It's just like, hey, let's be weird so people will talk about it. Like, that doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah, it was weird.
The whole thing, I mean, then you got Tom Brady making out with Robert Kraft.
Yeah, that was
fucking bizarre. Like, it happened in real time, and someone yelled it out. I don't think I was actually watching that closely, because it's, you know, it's a post-game, I don't really care. And I didn't believe it, I thought they were just joking, and then I saw the video, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Tom Brady just kisses everybody.
It was weird.
Can we talk about how Julian Edelman did not deserve to get the MVP?
Why? Who should have got it, you think?
Because fucking I'm on the wrong page. I gotta find the stats here. Fucking Stephon Gilmore had an interception, 5 tackles, like played pretty good pass coverage and a forced fumble. And in a game where 16 total points were scored, I mean, I know that Jules had a nice day, but
him and Gronk on that were pretty much their entire offense.
I think that when you have the lowest scoring Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls, you should give it to the standout defensive player. I don't think anyone on those offenses... I mean, I was just worried that Brady would get it, honestly, because he definitely didn't deserve it.
No.
But I think that you need to give it to a defensive guy. I think Gilmore was far and away, you know, the guy with the stats to back that up, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's really hard for a defensive player to get MVP. They have to... literally do, like, insane, like, remarkable things. It has to show, like, you know.
You have to score a touchdown on defense to even be considered.
Like, Malcolm Butler didn't even get the MVP when they beat the Seahawks, when he got the game-winning interception.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get the MVP. And, yeah.
I guess that my problem is more with the system in general in this specific instance. I don't understand why we don't give him credit. Especially in games like this, where it's boring as shit because the defense did everything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only way you can really reward that is having, like, but even that, it can get a little risky or get a little much when they have, like, an offensive and defensive MVP.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's tough, but, like,
I think that was the same kind of thing where it's, like, I saw, like, the notification on my phone from ESPN last week where it was, like, you know, I think Patrick Mahomes wins Offensive Player of the Year, and I'm like, so he got MVP too then, because that's how it works, like...
Yeah, most of the time that's typically how it's going to go. But, which came in as no surprise.
No, definitely not.
We saw Zach Taylor left being quarterback coach of the Rams. He's now the Bengals head coach, as what was going to be known anyway for a while now. And then Brian Flores, defensive coordinator, has left New England and is now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. But the Patriots, they are signing Greg Schiano as their new defensive coordinator at Ohio State. That's the announcement here.
So, like, is this just like fuck Josh McDaniels, or like what's going on? Like, I mean, Josh McDaniels was a highly sought after candidate last year. He did have interviews this year.
Yeah,
post-fucking-over-the-Colts.
I think that's him doing that.
Yeah, because I'm just wondering if he's getting blackballed by people for what he did to the Colts, or if he's just sticking around because he's been promised the Patriots after Belichick,
yeah,
which
I think he...
I wouldn't even want that.
More like, and I don't know if he wants to necessarily leave... I think he's probably very comfortable where he's at currently and likes doing what he's doing, and he's just going to take over when Bill...
But I mean, you got to think that when Bill leaves, best case scenario, Bill leaves, you get Brady's last and probably worst two seasons. And that's absolute best. Maybe you even get none.
I don't know
if I'd want to inherit that franchise after those guys leave.
I don't think McDaniels is wanting. I don't think he's envisioning he's going to get Brady on his own.
No,
because he kind of probably puts in. Belichick, Brady in a package deal type of thing.
Everyone does, yeah.
And Gronk has been very clear about that. He's not going to have any other quarterback but Brady.
I think Gronk is out after this year. I just can't see. This year was such a mess, and he kind of pulled it together at the end. But it's not like the dude has money. The dude is not. I mean, he's probably passionate about football, but he's accomplished what he needs to, and I think he likes having fun more than he likes
You know,
football.
He's very involved in, you know, like the WWE, like his best friend is a wrestler. Like he's, after football, he's going to, I'm sure...
He's probably going to keep making lots of money. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to do something like that. Football's not his end. So it's just a matter of how long he wants to play.
I mean, if I were him, I guess I would call it quits after this one. I just can't see a next season being very successful. It seems like it'd be more of, you know, his downtime this season.
Yeah, honestly, if he came back next year, he'd probably be like half the season, pretty much just and with most of that work coming in the beginning middle.
And then
waiting or resting for the playoffs.
Yeah, and especially like Bill trying to trade him last offseason and ship him off somewhere else. I mean, I think Bill knows that it's time, and I think that Gronk also knows that it's probably time. I would be really surprised to see him come back next year. I think he's going to – there's something to be said, too, for going out on top. I mean, you know, I wasn't expecting Brady or Belichick to do it, but I could definitely see that argument where it's like, all right, you know what? No one's ever done six. That's it. I'm out. See ya.
Yeah, I mean,
I wasn't expecting it, but it makes a certain kind of sense.
I think Brady wants, he probably wants seven, to be honest.
Brady wants 10. Let's be fucking real here. Brady.
But I'm saying, because right now he's tied. This is crossing sport line here, but he's tied with Michael Jordan for championships, or at least, you know, Michael had six.
If that's the reason he's staying in, then he's fucking, that's the dumbest shit.
That was a quick thing that people brought
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think that he's like that, but like, that's a thing where it's like,
anyone who's seriously comparing those two stats is a fucking idiot, because that's
this is what happens when the NFL's over. They're like, we need to talk about stuff. This is what NFL writers do.
Yeah, would Michael be better at football, or would Tom be better at basketball? That's a very easy question to answer.
Yeah. I don't know. Tom in basketball would probably just sit at the three-point line in the corner and just wait for a ball.
Tom would be good at basketball if he played for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yo, yeah, he'd be great.
He'd be that dude, like that kind of like the biggest guard, and he would just like flop every time someone drove on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd just be super passionate. But all right, let's look ahead to some big names, I guess some real big names, if you know what I mean. Looking at free agency here.
Oh, are they large men?
Oh yeah.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
So of course one of the biggest news, is that that Foles reportedly he paid $2 million, or he plans to pay $2 million to buy out of his fifth year option that the Eagles could put on him, the $20 million option they could put. He wants to buy out that to go to free agency. Probably the Eagles are going to franchise tag him at I think it's like $29.3 million for next year in hopes of being able to trade him so they don't just lose him for nothing.
Yeah, and they could definitely, I think, trade him to that. Jaguars!
It's got to be the Jaguars or the Giants, I mean, you'd think. With the Giants to trade because, you know, cross-division or inter-division.
I think that if they were smart, the Ravens would make a bid because I think that Lamar is not a good long-term solution there. But
but also, at the same time, trading away assets for a 30-year-old or going past his 30s now or in the other side of 30 quarterback who had a great playoff run and then other than that has been kind of shaky regular season. I don't know. It's a gamble. It's a huge gamble. I feel like maybe just riding Lamar out and seeing how that wave goes.
That's kind of a hasty move if they were just to shop him off because he hasn't gotten a full season. He probably hasn't really gotten a fair shot yet, and he could improve, and he's young and all this stuff. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just personally don't see that going super well long term. He fumbles all the time, and he's not a great thrower. But I could get proven wrong. He could kind of Cam Newton it and develop the rest of his game around the ability to run.
Yeah.
And then put a towel on his head every game for the rest of his career.
but also with Cam Newton's and Lamar built a little differently.
Yeah, Cam Newton's a very large boy. He's
a fucking linebacker.
He keeps getting in car crashes and like he plays the next week. Like that's happened like 3 or 4 times now. Right? Like Cam Newton got in a car crash, but he's fine.
Yeah, like Cam is like, I think he's like 6'5 or something like that, like 250. And Lamar's like 6'2, 6'3, like 215, maybe.
Cam is 6'5, 245.
Ah!
All right. Lamar is 6'3, 212. He's not that much smaller.
All right, I was pretty fucking close. Damn right. But yeah, and so. He's taller, but he's got a smaller frame. That's kind of like how Teddy was like, but Teddy at least
he's got a weirder face too. Lamar Jackson's face, very strange looking.
Yeah,
I know it's not really relevant, but it's just that, it looks like you squish his entire face into the middle of his head.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of like compact, but
yeah, like why did your cheeks and forehead need that much room?
No, you never know. and of course, obviously,
he needs a special face mask that like gets his eyes right.
I'm talking about his face. you in the male anatomy, you have like a heart to heart here, man. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, what's gonna happen with Mark Sanchez this offseason?
Oh my gosh, no!
His famous posterior.
Considering that Alex Smith, like. You know,
Alex Smith might be done.
Like, I don't know,
like he's missing this next season, and he might be just done.
Jesus.
Store brand Aaron Rodgers could be on the fucking shelf.
Yeah. And so, and I'll also now going to Pittsburgh, the shitstorm that's going on there.
Sell, sell, sell.
Yikes. The two of the three B's are, not good. Not good.
Two of the three B's are gone, and the last B keeps getting in trouble.
The last B was the worst B.
The worst and the oldest B.
Yeah. He's probably a Hall of Famer, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, now, though, he's all over the place. But Le'Veon's been – that's been known for a while that he's going to be leaving or he's not going to be there. Obviously, after sitting out this year, it's like, okay, he'll move on. But then Antonio Brown just came out of nowhere.
Well, like, Antonio Brown, from the stories that I've heard, is an absolute psychopath.
Yeah, that's not
– half of them are true. I mean, I knew that he was kind of a diva and he got mad if he didn't get targeted, yada, yada, yada. But yeah. A lot of receivers do that. I mean, some of the shit that he was yelling and not showing up and doing all this crap, I'd want him out.
Pushing, like, shoving and pushing his wife or so, like,
yeah,
down, and, like, that happened, you know, in January, but no arrests were made, and just, like, that's not good. You never want to be linked to any domestic dispute or violence, ever.
I've seen a whole bunch of fan pages, you know, over the last couple of months, you know, like, with their little photoshopped Antonio Brown in a Packers jersey, like, should we do it? No! fuck no, he'd want, like, all the money, and he's insane. Like,
yeah, you literally would, you'd be, like, paying, like, three people all your cap, and it would be Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, and Antonio.
And we have Devontae, who's like, what the fuck are we going to do about this?
No money.
Yeah, it's just, like, stupid people put in, obviously, that's not even kind of, you know, an option, but other teams, too, even if you're in need of a wide receiver, it's like, I don't know if this dude's worth it, if he's going to be fucking crazy all the time if we don't win.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the Giants should sign him. We have a crazy off.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I'm the most pedestrian quarterback in the world. Like,
you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up, you know, somewhere far away from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they'd want to get him ideally somewhere in the NFC.
Yeah.
Because this is trading him, right? They can't just, like, he's not a free agent, is he?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
No, he's not a free agent. And so, I, you know, maybe he goes to a team, like, with a lot of cap space. Like, the Niners have a decent amount of cap space, or enough to be able to have him for at least a while, and that's far away, and, you know.
He can hang out with Jimmy G and the porn stars.
Yeah!
Exactly. Yeah!
yeah, and so it's, I don't know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that team went from, like, you know, huge contender, everything's jiving, to, like, Bell and Brown now over the course of one season, and now they're just sitting there like, fuck. And I think they still have Ben, who's a solid quarterback, and Juju Smith-Schuster, I think, is going to be a good number one wide receiver once Brown is out of the picture. I think that, you know, he's already been racking up stats, even when he's playing behind Brown. I think he's going to have a really nice couple seasons here now that he's going to be the guy. But It's just a very dramatic and rapid turnaround for that team. I don't know how they're going to respond to that.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, do you know what it's setting up for, right? The motherfucking Browns are going to win the AFC North.
Oh, I took that as, you know, for granted. That's 100% going to happen, because, like, the Ravens with, you know, little face Lamar, and, you know, the Steelers imploding, the Bengals keeping right on track, being the Bengals. I think Baker's going to get dangerous on that division next season.
Oh, yeah, he is. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, yeah, I don't put any faith in the Bengals, like, zero. I have, like, negative faith in them. You know, who knows how Zach Taylor's actually going to be.
And he probably won't be great his first year regardless, so.
Yeah.
Kind of and pencil them out right away.
And yeah, I think Lamar is kind of a wild card, facing a full season with him if he can hold up. And then, of course, you have the Steelers, who is a mess, and so I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, yeah. I'd put, you know, pretty decent odds on the Browns taking that division next year.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, scraping away some sort of wild card. But I think that they have a really nice shot at the division.
Super difficult for the Browns not to make the playoffs next year in the AFC. I mean, running through, it's like, all right, the Patriots, they're a lock. The Chiefs.
Well,
are
I don't know. The Patriots. The problem with the Patriots is who's going to challenge them.
Yeah,
and I don't think that anyone in that division,
unless there's some serious injury that happens to a certain someone, I don't see them not winning.
Chris Hogan.
10-11 games.
Chris Hogan gets hurt, they're fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then you have the Chiefs. Chiefs are going to win their division, and maybe the Chargers. Chiefs or Chargers, there's two spots right there. So it's like, and then probably,
you got to imagine that the Chiefs and Chargers are going to do that whole division wild card. One of them is going to get one's going to get the other thing again.
I don't see, I mean, and then the AFC South, okay, that's probably the Texans, right?
I mean, what we thought. The way that they played in the playoffs, That whole division is very volatile. It's probably going to be the fucking Jags with Nick Foles or something. Who knows?
Some stupid thing.
Yeah, just like, oh, shit. And, like, they're never actually, like, good enough to beat teams that aren't the AFC South, but they're good enough to
Colts?
Win the AFC South.
I guess the Colts, I keep forgetting about that they're in the AFC South, because, you know, Indiana.
Yeah, now that Andrew Luck's back from the dead, and I mean, they played pretty well.
Their defense is looking young and for real.
Eric Ebron tying the league in touchdowns.
What the fuck is that about?
On like six total passes all season. He caught 13 touchdowns on six passes.
Yeah, somehow defies logic and does that.
That made me so mad when like I had him in fantasy and then Doyle came back and his snap count dropped to like 10% of snaps. So I like released him and the next week he scored like two touchdowns. I was like, Kevin, you fucking idiot. I'm like, no, my thought process was correct. Uh-huh. The fact that he defied, I mean, Ebron is a wild man. I'm curious to see what happens with him next season.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's going to – I don't know. I'm just getting ready for fantasy and just like looking, and I'm like, all right, well, who's going to be surprising this year and who's going to just be royally fucking people next year?
I started thinking about fantasy, and I had that like the vision of that Michael Scott quote, like, I am ready to get hurt again.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to the Browns, I mean, I haven't been as certain on the Browns, you know, having success in the future since, you know, I said that the Panthers would be really good, so.
End of their season.
Yeah, I sincerely like to apologize to
our
Panthers
first
fans out there.
End of their season, they were very much in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I think they'll be fine. Kiss of death.
Just fucked them.
I say we do a segment next season called Kevin's Kiss of Death every week where I just say which team I think is good. And I'll start with the Vikings.
No! No. That would be mean.
Yeah.
But
is there anything else that we have on the docket?
No, I'm just sad that the season's over. But, yeah. Hey, in a couple weeks, the draft is, so, or the, hey, it's like 2 months.
It's another season, and Nathan Peterman is still on a football team, so I think
is,
we should count our fucking blessings. As far as I know, I haven't Googled it yet, so that means that it hasn't happened for me. It's like Schrodinger's Peterman. Nathan like, as long as I don't hear that he's off a team, he's still on a team.
He is on the Raiders. Oh, he's number 18,
that
too.
Was a dangerous Google. I can't believe you almost jeopardized that for me.
He's the first thing that pops up when I type in N-A-T in my Google.
Nathan Peterman, shirtless. Wait, what?
Yes. All right.
Yeah, that
little name.
So, I mean, that's something that we can take away as a win here. Even if our teams didn't do well, at least we got the Pete still coming out doing his thing on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we didn't talk about, you know, Brady now has a Super Bowl to represent the six quarterbacks taken before him in the 2000 draft.
Oh, Jesus fuck. Is that really what was it? The Super Bowl was like 5 days ago, and we're like, so Brady has, you know, a Super Bowl trophy for every tomato he didn't eat in January of last year. Like, who gives a fuck? This is the start of like the season of just obscure weird stats because everyone's so bored and like you'd rather look up how many times the Bengals lost by 6 points in the 80s than, you know, watch baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is a weird time where I'm like, I guess I just have to watch basketball, but college basketball is picking up.
Basketball is picking up. When is the draft again? It's like it's around Easter, isn't it?
Like I want to say April.
I guess I have a laptop right here. I could just check. Is the NFL draft? It says not soon enough.
April 25th to the 27th.
Okay, so all right, we're getting there. It's, you know, month and a half plus away.
We're like 2.5 away, but yeah.
How many days until football is back? Come on, Google. How many days until NFL 2018? What the fuck, Google? It's 2019. days.2/since/NFL league season. 153 days, 23 hours, 41 minutes, and 6 seconds.
No.
Wait a minute. Oh, it's how many days since the start of the 2018 season. What kind of stupid-ass website is this? Because it's counting up. I was like, wait a minute. It's getting bigger.
I mean, wouldn't we be We're probably close to that, because that's like 5 months. I mean...
Yeah, I mean...
We're like 6 months away from the preseason, so there's that.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Fuck. Well, hey, Game of Thrones is in 68 days.
That is true. That is going to be a very fun time. That's...
There's also movies and things, and...
There's Avengers coming out, and...
Captain Marvel, and...
Yeah, that looks decent.
I mean, I'll see it, because...
I'll see it, yeah, because it's going to be, like, hugely important to Avengers, but...
I'm a sheep for Marvel. I'm going to just go to every one of their movies.
Marvel, chill.
Time. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we'll be back for if there's any breaking news and any surprise things that happen, or...
I think I'm just going to record audio of myself sleeping and post it as episodes and see how many people listen to it.
Fuck.
It gets like more listens than our actual episodes do. Like, what the fuck?
Probably. People like put you on like while they're trying to sleep, so they can have some, like white noise.
It's like ASMR, but like I'm already asleep.
Well, you can hear you sleep talk, and it's just...
That's true. I really like to hear what I say, but I know that, like, if I do that, I'm definitely not gonna, like, listen to the... It's like when we were recording ourselves, when we visited you in New York, and there was, like, 2 hours where we were all just passed out, and we forgot to turn off the mic.
That's when after I left. And everyone...
Yeah, because the very end of the recording, like, we were watching something on YouTube, but then, like, it stopped, and you just went... All right, I'm just going to go to yourself. And I could hear you like get up and close the door to the hotel room. And then there was just 2 hours of nothing. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. All right, well, if you don't have anything else, do you have any closing remarks to the 2018-2019 season?
No, it was weird, and I both loved it and hated it, which is pretty normal. I mean, this is the football podcast for guys who hate football, and I think we lived up to that.
Yeah, no, I definitely am. I have a lot of feelings about the season.
I have a lot of feelings. I don't know what any of them are.
I don't know how to explain them or talk about them. I definitely...
It's good that we have the off season so we can untangle all of our complex emotions about this. Time for September for them to all come back.
Like, I am so happy that as just like as being an unbiased football fan and really a person that doesn't have to ever worry about him that much, I am so happy that we get to watch the next decade and a half or so of Patrick Mahomes.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be fun.
I'm
gonna play this all back when he beats you guys in the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, that's fine. We play them. You know we play that division, right?
Yeah, I'm aware.
That sucks.
That's terrible.
Like we get to play the Raiders, great. The Broncos, okay. But then we have to play the Chargers and Chiefs, and I think both those games are away for the Vikings, and I'm like, That's not fun. Don't hurt me, Patrick. Don't hurt me.
Then again, I mean, who knows? Because we always do that where it's like, oh, we're playing the shit division, and then there's a new shit division that year, and the NFC East is actually decent.
I feel like the AFC West is not going to be the new shit division. Like,
hey, you don't know.
I feel like the Chargers and Chiefs are going to be a hard game.
Maybe Mahomes will get hit by a bus, and Phillip Rivers will have like his 50th kid retire in the middle of the season. I'm not wishing it, you know, like knock on fake wood, but I'm just saying.
But I honestly think it's going to be very easy for me to be like, you know, if the Vikings are eliminated from the playoffs or don't make the playoffs or whatever, or they just like die, that I'll be like, I have no issue rooting for Mahomes to win all the Super Bowls. I'd be okay with that.
That's all right. I'll get sick of it eventually. It's like, you know, when he gets his sixth.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah,
but I don't really have any closing thoughts. I mean, I thought that this season, you know, the inaugural season of Third and Forever went fairly well. I'm going to try my darndest to get this so it doesn't come out of each individual earbud. So if you're listening to this and it's still doing that, that means that I have failed.
For those listening, yeah, that was if you heard that in your left ear, I believe.
Yeah, if these words aren't coming into both of your ears at the same time, that means that I failed and that, you know... I'm sorry. Well, we have literal months to workshop a solution, but
we have like five or six months to figure this out. So we'll do our damnedest. But all right, well, yeah, this has been Third and Forever Football Podcast for guys or people, I guess you should say that.
No, it's just guys, no girls.
No. We're the top.
People already say I'm a misogynist for no reason. We might as well just lean into it. It's no girls allowed.
Well, this is the podcast for guys, I guess. they hate football themselves.
You can listen to it if you're a girl, but you have to identify as a man. Only for the hour where you're listening, and you can go back to whatever you want to do.
I identify as a Vikings fan. So I'm a masochist, so there's that.
This is not the football podcast for masochists who hate football. Actually,
it kind of is.
Juries. It is that. It's only that.
Like in your 22 years of being a 22, I guess how I don't know how long you've been conscious, I guess, of fully aware. Probably I'll say 20
well,
years.
Well, I mean, the Packers won a Super Bowl when I was a fetus, so I include that. So 23 years, give or take.
All right. Well, of those. Only two of those years granted you happiness. The rest were disappointment. In my 24 and a half, all I've known is disappointment. So yeah, we could say we hate ourselves. But
I mean, happiness after the Super Bowl when I was old enough to remember it. But someday I'll tell you the tale of the Super Bowl of 2010. And let me tell you, it was.
I won't. I don't care to hear that.
Oh, it. I was a disaster for like
tell you
a fortnight.
I give zero shits about that.
Adam, let me tell you what the Super Bowl is like.
No, I don't need to know what the Super Bowl is. I don't know. To my knowledge, the season
it's terrible. You're lucky you don't have one. It's just such a bother.
Super Bowl is the Pro Bowl too to me. So,
yeah.
So there's that. I don't even think that there's a real game. I think it's all myth. Until I see it with my own eyes, it's not real. So there's that. Hopefully 2019 and 2020 season goes better for my team and not yours. Fuck you.
NFC Championship game, Packers-Vikings.
No, God.
The Vikings win, they go to the Super Bowl, and they play the Chiefs, and Mahomes shit pumps the fuck out of
me. Oh, God.
That is my way too early prediction.
Oh, and then you just play all this audio back to me, and I'd be like,
"Oh, oh my God, I would!" Especially if like that championship game happens and the Vikings win, and then the Chiefs, and I'm like, "Oh,
speak it into existence. It will come true."
Everything I've said on this podcast has come true.
Yep.
Every single thing.
Yep. Sorry, Panther fan.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But all right, this has been Third Forever. I've been your host, Adam, joined as always by my enigma of a co-host, Kevin. Kevin, say goodbye.
I approve of that adjective. It's a noun, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a descriptive noun, and I approve.
I'm glad you approve. All right, roll it.